Father, we worship and honor you. We thank you. You are the good God. And you deserve praise and worship. We worship and praise you not just because of what you do for us, but probably more importantly because of who you are to us and who you are to all of creation. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of the wonders of your wisdom and your power. Our bodies scream, our DNA, everything, of the kind of God you are. A God of order, a God of goodness. Everything the Bible says, the invisible things of you, they're clearly seen, being understood by the things you have made. We look around and we see your hand, a hand of care, of providence. Lord, as we go into your word now, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing. So I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And I'll pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of those who will hear me, those who are physically present, and those who, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people. Do an internal and eternal work in all our hearts, including mine in particular. Cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that, Lord God, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. Welcome the people around you. Say, you're welcome to a lovely time of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And those who are watching at home, you're welcome to a lovely time of thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And so our Bible study today, we're on 1 Corinthians, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to dedicate it to this teaching on thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is spiritual and sacrifice to bless and to refresh God. That's really what it is. You know, when we give thanks to God, we're making a sacrifice both to spiritual, and we're going to see in a minute, some of it is physical, but most of it is spiritual. Sacrifices to bless God and refresh God. Now, I remember when I was a young Christian, I read that thing. It was in Luke chapter 24. I believe it's in verse 53. And it says, you know, they were praising and blessing God. And it occurred to me, I said, how can a man bless God? God's too big. What are you going to give God? You know, even the book of Hebrews said that without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And certainly we're not better than God. So how in the world can we bless God? And as I dug deeper into the word over the years, I began to understand what he meant, that we were going to refresh God. We were going to minister to God. And this is very important to God. Of all the prayers we pray, this prayer of thanksgiving is the one primarily that ministers to God. In all the other prayers we pray, it is God who is ministering to and through us. But in thanksgiving, we minister to God. And the reason is deep in the scripture, but it's there. Let's start by looking at Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 50. And thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to look at verse 14 to start with. Psalm 50. There we go. This concept of thanksgiving is a thread that runs throughout the entire Bible. The Apostle Paul in particular places great emphasis on thanksgiving. And he did it by revelation for a reason. He said that, you know, in everything give thanks. He says, you know, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And that may look practically impossible and impractical, because there's some, when you're in certain situations, the last thing you want to do is give thanks. But with the understanding that God will give us as we share the word, we'll begin to understand why he said so and what the effect would be. Another scripture that's just popping into my mind is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He said, continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. It is even when you're praying, thanksgiving should be something that should constantly be flowing in your heart. I heard somebody say, and I believe really this is the crux of the matter, say that it is an attitude of gratitude. A lot of people do not have an attitude of gratitude. What does it mean to have an attitude of gratitude? It means to constantly be appreciative of the good things God has given you. Many people spend all their time, well, maybe not all, but a great majority of the time, either grumbling or complaining or murmuring. And I want to point out this, at the heart level, you may not grumble outwardly. In fact, some people can even say thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you. But in their heart, they are dissatisfied, you know. And that's why I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just going to flow with the Holy Spirit. You know, that is why the Bible talks about giving thanks well. It means that there is a way I can say thank you and it's not done properly. Otherwise, he will not say giving thanks well. You know, he said, you know, verily thou givest thanks well. So it's possible to say thank you, but the attitude inside is not yet right. You do not have an internal attitude of gratitude. Everybody say, attitude of gratitude. That's more important than even the words you say. It's more important than the songs you sing. You can sing the right songs, you can say the right words, and internally, you still do not have an attitude of gratitude. There's something that is terribly wrong with this present generation. They call them Gen Z. You know, most of the people who are born, you know, say from 1990 downwards, you know. But I don't think it's unique to them. I think you've always had it. It's just that probably we see it more now in the earth, because the generation that was born at the time of the internet, of instant coffee, instant, everything is instant, 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 you know. And many, and at that time, Satan, you know, had put this wrong and foolish culture into the Western world. When I say West, I'm talking about the United States, England, you know, and most of Western Europe, that you shouldn't beat your children. You know, I'm 63 years old by the grace and mercy of God. Well, I'm going to be 64, you know, in May by the grace and the mercy of God. when we were kids, you know, in our childhood years, beating was not a, there was no debate about it. Both here and abroad. Pastor Wale went to school in England, you know, up to secondary school. He came to Nigeria when he was about 13 or 14 years old. Even in his school, they used to beat him, you know. He even showed me the school, it's near one tube station, you know, you know, in England. We passed the place, Pastor, that was the school I went to. You know, they used to beat them. They had canes inside the, in the, you know, the headmaster would beat you if you were wrong and all that. You know, it didn't kill us. And it certainly did not bend our personality. Here I am standing in front of you. My personality is not bent. You know, my mom passed on recently and I was giving a tribute to her. You know, those years, you know, when we're growing up, you know, because my parents were divorced when I was very young, you know, so my mom, the first few years, my mom brought us up as a single parent. You know, my mom used to beat me, you know, but not, there was never child abuse, you know, but there was a healthy fear that if you did anything wrong, you know, I remember as children, you know, when I was 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, we used to have toys, jigsaw puzzle, all this Lego, American bricks and all kinds of things. And many times, you know, you'd be playing, you know, with your stuff, you know, either in your room or in the one corner in the sitting room. You're building something, building a car, or you're building, you know, a house or something with a Lego and all of that. And our concentration is, you know, you want to do it properly, you know, and then you hear mommy's car. My mother, you know, she's coming from the office or wherever, you know, and we just hear the horn. Beep, 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 beep. Ah! Hey. Immediately, we pack all of, because she doesn't like the house untidy, you know. So we will pack all of that thing, make sure I put it neatly. If I had comics or books around, you know, because if she comes in and she sees the place untidy, she's going to beat you. What did it do? It made me disciplined. It made me have a sense of, you know, responsibility. We had servants, we had house boys, we had house girls, we had servants in the house, but there were certain things you had to do by yourself. You know, you have to make your bed. Even though we had servants in the house, they don't make your bed for you. And mommy will come and check, and if it's not done, she will beat you. She had this stick atori. You say, Pastor, what has this got to do with Thanksgiving? Everything. But from about 1980, I don't know, one guy wrote one book, one Dr. Spock. I was even reading about it on the internet recently. I think his own children died or something. His story was a bad story. You know, this guy who recommended that, oh, you should stop beating children, that it bends their personality and all of that. I'm going somewhere with all of this. What happened was that the generation that imbibed that wrong understanding and culture and did not discipline the children, you know, and no longer beat them and all of that when it was necessary. With the Bible says that, you know, it says, train up a child where he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. And our scripture says, you know, it says, let not thy soul spare for his crying. He said, beat him and you will deliver his soul from hell. True! The Bible is the manufacturer's handbook. You can't know more than the person who made you. And he now said we should do that. But there was a generation, I don't know, say from 1980s, I don't, you know, I didn't do it with my own children anyway because I was here in Nigeria, thank God. In England, I beat your child, they phone the police and they come and arrest you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God forbid. That will never happen in Nigeria. We have corruption, but those are some laws that we never see the light of day in Nigeria because of the good culture, you know, that we have. Anyway, this generation grew up now because they were not beaten with a sense of expectancy. entitlement. They were, you know, so if they want anything, you give it to them. You know, if the child is crying, they say, just give him what he wants so he will stop crying. Because you can't beat him. So they grew up with a sense of entitlement and a lack of attitude of gratitude. So when you give them things, they expect it. When they don't get it, they're angry. And they have a wrong attitude. So a whole generation has been brought up, maybe unconsciously, without an attitude of gratitude. They have a sense of entitlement. Daddy must do this, mommy must do that, you know, all my friends in school have this, so I must have the same, and that kind of thing. And it's a horrible attitude. Sadly, it's like a osmosis, you know, it has seeped into a lot, you know, because it's in the culture, you see. So, into the minds and the emotions of many of our younger generation, and that's why they do not have an attitude of gratitude. Rather, they have a sense of entitlement. And they feel it's their right. It's their right to do this, it's their right to do that. And you know, it's very common now here about human rights. You know, even the children, you know, come and start talking to the adults anyhow in the United Nations, you know, on climate. Now, of course, I agree that we have to do something about the climate, but you don't talk to your seniors like that. But and they're celebrated. It's a big problem. This understanding should cure it. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God, I didn't hear you, thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Everybody say thanksgiving, then say vows. Say thanksgiving, then say vows. You didn't get it. I said thanksgiving, and then say vows. Thanksgiving is the spiritual aspect. That's a spiritual sacrifice. The vow is the physical aspect. That's where you pick, if you promise that you are going to give 1,000 naira, you come and bring the 1,000 naira. That's the vow. So they go hand in hand. But the foundation is the spiritual, is the thanksgiving. And it's a spiritual sacrifice. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. But I had to, and I'm still going to deal with it again, you know, deal with the anchor of the inner attitude. That thing is so important. It is so, you can sing. You can say thank you. But your attitude may not be one of gratitude. Because you may think, or be thinking in your mind, that I should have more than what they've given me. Of course, you won't say that outside. But that's what. If you have that, you've got to change it. Don't come here today with an attitude of entitlement. And this is very true in our relationship with God. Many people feel God has not done for them what he should have done. Or as much as he should have done. Thank you. Yes, you saved me. But, you know, I still have not got this. I've not got that one. This one has not yet happened. This one, anyway, praise God. Let's just thank God, sharp. Hello? If I just got your number, give the Lord a wave offering. Amen. Hello, somebody. The Holy Ghost speaking through me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 5. You also, read after me, you also, as living stones, are built up a what? Spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer, everybody scream it, spiritual sacrifices. Acceptable. This is in contrast with the physical animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice was both spiritual and physical, because David talked about offering thanksgiving. And David and many of the people in the Old Testament who had revelation understood that if you just sacrifice an animal and, you know, say God will not, is not, we read here in Psalm 50, God's not satisfied. That's not what I... It's a spiritual thanksgiving. But that was the law at that time. But in the New Testament, where Jesus' sacrifice has taken care of all the physical animal sacrifices. So what we have now are spiritual sacrifices. And thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And it says, it's very clear there in Hebrews in verse 15. Beautiful scripture. Again, this is Paul. You know, I quoted the other two he mentioned. He mentioned in Colossians, in 1 Thessalonians. Here it says, by him therefore, I didn't hear you. By who? By Jesus. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to of praise to God once in a while. I said once in a while. When you're feeling good, when everything in your life is going well, continually. This is the New Testament. The attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving should continually be in your heart. Continually. And the reason is not far-fetched. If the Yorubas have one of our best proverbs, we have a lot of good ones. It says, Entuba monuro amokweda. In our language, that means that the person who knows how to think deeply will be appreciative. He'll have an attitude of gratitude. You know, why does he say this? If you know, if you understand what Jesus did for you, even if he doesn't do anything else for you in this life, you should always be grateful. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Oh, yes. It's not his will, and he's not going to do that. But I'm just saying this. You know, if he didn't heal you again, if he did not give you prosperity, if he did not give you a husband, if he didn't give you children, if he doesn't do it there, but the fact that he saved you from sin and he's taking you to heaven is enough for you to have an attitude of gratitude throughout your life. Now, of course, he's done much more than that. But that is why we need to be able to give thanks to God continually. Irrespective of my present physical situation. Irrespective of whether what I prayed for, the answer has come or not. Or whether he has given me this or he has not given me that. A lot of people, if one or two things have not yet happened, they don't have an attitude of gratitude anymore. Hello? Or what I term, let me look at one more scripture, then I'll come. I don't want to lose my thought. Let me just say it. You know, what I term insufficient gratitude. I was actually meditating on this. I wrote an article on this some year. I preached it, you know, some years ago. You know, maybe we should dig it out for the Daily Rhema. You know, and it was about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick, and he was going to die. And God sent Isaiah the prophet to him. And he turned to the wall, and he cried. And he asked God to, you know, to heal him. And God heard his prayer and sent the prophet back and gave him 15 years. Now, at this time, he was a young man, relatively young. You know, he was in his 30s or something. He actually died very young. He died at 55. Which was certainly not the will of God. And you will understand the reason why. So, God heals him. Then, you know, he's blessed. And, you know, some material things, God blesses him. Then the people come from Babylon to come and, you know, commiserate with him and rejoice with him on the fact that he's been healed. He has an attitude of showing off, pride. So he goes to show them all the treasures of his house. The prophet gets to hear about it, and he's very angry. Not the prophet, but God through the prophet. And says, who are these men? He said, they come from Babylon. He said, what have you shown? He said, I've shown them everything. He said, the day is going to come when they will come from Babylon and they will, all these treasures you showed them, they're going to take them away in captivity to Babylon. Hezekiah doesn't care. He said, oh, well, okay, so long as it's not when I'm alive. What a selfish, self-centered, you know. But if you go and read the scriptures, I don't have time to go to all of the scriptures, but you can go and check them out. You look for that scripture where it says he did not give to God according to the measure of the blessing that he got. You know, something like that. Look for it. But while you're looking for that, yes, he says, oh, there'll be peace in my days. And then he gives thanks to God. Even after I was healed, he had a psalm. So he gave thanks, but he didn't give thanks well. Because the attitude in his heart was not yet good enough. I preached that message many years ago. Insufficient gratitude. You're grateful, all right. But not sufficiently, not to the extent of the blessing that God gave you. And you know the reason why? You haven't thought. Oh, Ronu, I'm saying it in our language. In other words, if you think deeply about what God has done for you, then it should be commensurate to the level of gratitude, to the degree of gratitude you should render. And that is a big problem today. Like I said, we have a whole generation who have a sense of entitlement. Thank you. 2 Chronicles 32:35. 3225. 2 Chronicles 32:25. 2 Chronicles, give it to me now. Good. I want everybody to read this scripture because you are going to give thanks well to do. That's why the word is coming first. I just changed the order around. So that our thinking, let me say it in Yoruba. Sorry, wakbe. So our head will be correct. Our thinking will be right. But Hezekiah rendered not again. Everybody scream it. According to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up. He didn't have an attitude of gratitude. Watch this. But he had the words of gratitude. He had the songs of gratitude. But he did not have the attitude of gratitude. I'm going to repeat that. You can have the words of gratitude. There's another thing the Yoruba people say, Bajen Simi. That is, I've said thank you. What else do you want? You know, let me rest. You know, you didn't say that. Oh, sorry. Thank you. But it's not from the heart. That's what the Yoruba people call, I've given it to you now, let me rest. Shebi, you want Thanksgiving? I've given you your Thanksgiving. When you give thanks without the proper attitude, it's not sufficient. God will accept it, but it's just not sufficient. So that's why I spoke about insufficient gratitude. And sadly, because of what I explained earlier on, the culture that a lot of this younger generation, and not only the younger, it's true, all, you know, not for even up, after all, in the time of Hezekiah, there was no Gen Z, praise the Lord. So it had nothing to do with generation alone. You know, it has everything to do with the heart of the person. You know, when you think about, look at what God has done for me. In fact, take the attention off me and just say, look at what God has done. Forget you now. Who are you? What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a feather. Look at the heavens. Look at your body. Look at the great things God has done. That's enough to thank God for. Now, of course, he does some things for you too. But don't let your thanksgiving be centered around you. It's bigger than you. You don't thank God just because of you. You thank God because of who he is. Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't get that. You don't just thank God because of what God did for you. That's a self-centered thanksgiving. A thanksgiving whose foundation is firstly, I'm thanking God because of who he is and what he has done. Forget about me. Put me aside for the meantime. Amen. Then in addition to that, I now also thank God for what he's done for me. So that it is only with that understanding that you can give thanks continually. It is only with that understanding that you can, in everything, you can give thanks. Most people do not give thanks in everything because their attitude changes with their situation. When everything is fine, you find them like Hezekiah. Immediately God healed, he sang. There's a psalm somewhere in the scriptures. You know, a psalm, so thank God in the land of the living and all that. But God knew that this man's attitude hasn't yet changed. And it was, watch this, this is revelation knowledge. It's hidden wisdom, but it's there, you know. And it was to call his attention to that insufficient gratitude in his heart that he only gave him 15 years. Trying to get that, because any deep thinking person knows the scripture, you know, 120 for Moses, 120 in Genesis, 70 to 80. If you add 15 to what it was, he said, you should have gone back to God and said, God, why 15? Then God would have said, it's your attitude. Then he could have extended it. He did not need to die when he died. But because that attitude did not change, he died. And it was in those extra 12 years. He died at 55. He must have been for 30-something, you know, when he got healed. That he had Manasseh. Manasseh was just a kid. He was only 12 years old. But without the right influence after his dad died, Manasseh just... he went overboard. You know, became one of the worst kings of Israel. Thank God he repented later, and I think because of his father in heaven, you know, and he finally came back. But, you know, too much damage had been done. And it was only shortly, a few generations after that, that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and carry them away into Babylonian captivity, as he had said. So this attitude thing is very important. And that's what I want to emphasize today. Now, as we go on this Thanksgiving, go and check your attitude. You like Hezekiah, you can sing the right songs just simply because you got some blessing 2 weeks ago or in 2022. You know, maybe you got a new car or you got this and that. But still, you know, some attitude has not yet changed. The attitude of gratitude. Because, not just because of what God has done for me. Don't let it be a self-centered gratitude. But because of who God is. And what God has done. I'm just a part of the big picture. And I must see the big picture that is bigger than me. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. I can't seem to hear you, but, you know, maybe you're not in agreement with me. What's this man saying, you know? But trust me, it's the truth. Now, when we give this spiritual sacrifice, it is a refreshing to God. Look at Romans chapter 11. I mean, people are still on my side. Good. Romans 11. And look at verse 36. This is beautiful. I saw, as I was preparing, you know, I prepared this over the weekend. You know, I've been preaching from this scripture for years. Then I saw something fresh. It was always there. I guess I always knew it. You know, like if you look at that illustration of the soul, you got the subconscious, you know, before it comes to your conscious mind. So it was in my subconscious mind. But with light, it now went from my subconscious mind into my conscious mind. Your subconscious is what we call your conscience. That's where you get the witness of the Spirit. It is when you now open your will that it now moves from your subconscious to your conscious mind. So it says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. I preached this over the years. This shows a cycle, a life cycle. Before anything was created, angels, nothing. There was only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is the new insight I just got. There are only three persons, Father, Son, separate persons, but the same life, same attitude, same nature, same character. That's what we mean when we say God is one. It doesn't mean it's one person. It's not one person. You can never understand love and God if you do not understand the Trinity. Because you can't talk about love to one person. Love is relational. So that's why God is love. He cannot be love if he was one person. Hey, if you can't receive it, just chew on it. You know, you'll get it later. Praise the Lord. Now, these three persons of the Godhead now begin to create. And they create things. So they have to take out from themselves life and power to create. And like I've shared many times, you know, this is just a natural illustration. Doesn't mean it's exactly how it is, because I think there's an overlap in the functions. But just for understanding and definition, the Father is like the architect. The Lord Jesus Christ is like the contractor who supplies the material. And the Holy Spirit is like the builder, like if you're building a house. So that delineates the functions of the three persons of the Godhead. But like I said, those are just general definition. I think there's an overlap. I think, you know, even in the design, I think all three of them have their input. Even in the supply, all three of them have their input. Even in the building, all three of them have their input, you know. However, that being said, you know, so when God takes something out of himself and he creates, he's taken power and life from himself. So when we give thanks, what we do is a cycle of him, through him, and then back to him. Feedback loop, giving back to him comes in the form of thanksgiving from his creation. So when we give thanks, we are giving back to God a small measure of what he has taken from himself to create us and to create the universe and to create all the wonderful, lovely things we see. So it's a refreshing to God. Just like you are refreshed if you go and play football or some sports and all of that, and then you're feeling hot because you've expended a lot of energy, then somebody gives you a cold drink of water. The way you take the water in, it refreshes you. Or you stand in front of a fan or an air conditioner and the breeze refreshes you because you've expended energy, you know, and you're feeling hot. That breeze, that drink now refreshes you. That's what thanksgiving does. That is why here in Psalm 50, we're going to go back there in a minute, you know, it tells us that, you know, is that, am I going to eat the flesh of bull and of goats? Physical things can never refresh God. That is why he needs spiritual sacrifices. And the guys in the New Old Testament that had a revelation of who God was, had a deeper revelation than the others, understood that. David understood that. He said, you know, he said, offering and sacrifice, that would is not, you know. He said, I would offer a bull or something if he was satisfied, but I know. He said, but the offering of the Lord, I contrite heart, and I give thanks again, attitude. See, thanksgiving is not words alone. It's not songs alone. It must come from the right attitude. That's the one that ministers deeply to God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So it refreshes him. And look at Luke chapter 24, verse 53. Luke, am I talking to anybody here? Luke chapter 24, and look at verse 53. Right, it's the last verse. He says, and they were continually in the temple praising and what? How can you bless God? How can the lesser bless the greater? Normally, it's the greater that bless the lesser because of this cycle of him, through him, and to him are all things. So it's like a complete circuit, you know. It starts from him, it goes through him, and then it comes back to him. Some of it comes back to him. He said, all things. And that's where this insight the Holy Spirit gave me was, he said, that's the three persons of the Godhead right there. I said, Lord, talk about opening my eyes that I might behold one. I have been reading scripture all day. I never saw the three persons of the Godhead there. Of him, through him, to him. Of him, one person of the Godhead. Through him, second person of the Godhead. To him, third person of the Godhead. But like I said, it all overlaps. But you see the three persons of Godhead right there. You know, all things come of the Father, let's say. Then through the Son. And then back to God, the Holy Spirit. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Amen. I said, Lord, I read that scripture for years. That this insight is fresh. I just saw it. You know, like I said, it's there in the subconscious. When you look at it, it's obvious. You know, but you know, it's until God enlightens you, you'll be looking at the same scripture, you will not get that insight. Am I talking to anybody here? Now let's begin to round up this Thanksgiving thing. Anybody getting anything out of this? Right. So now, how do we do Thanksgiving? Let's go back to Psalm 50. Let's go back to Psalm. That's the Old Testament. But you see, God gave revelation to David in particular, you know, and then later on, you know, to others, people like Daniel, even Joseph, you know, I preached the message, Joseph had no Bible. The people who were very close to God understood that it was not the animal sacrifices. They did it because that was what God asked them to do in the Old Testament. That was the Old Testament law. And even before the law was just formalized by Moses. They used to sacrifice animals before the law. Job was sacrificing animals. Abraham was sacrificing. There was no law then, you know. So, you know, they understood that the killing of the animal was only a physical gesture of what was inside the heart. In other words, if I do the physical sacrifice and the heart is not right, he said, even his sacrifice will be an abomination. The Bible says so. Hello? And you know, the same thing translates to today. If I do the singing and I do the talking and I even bring my money, if the heart of gratitude is not there sufficiently to that degree, God will not be pleased with it. And I'm very careful about my words. Everybody say degree. Degree just means measure. So attitude is, it means everything to God. I've said it many, many times and I'm going to keep saying it till Jesus comes. This Christianity thing is determined by heart. It will determine grace. It will determine mercy. Honesty and humility. That's the foundation of everything. Once the heart is right, the honesty, the humility, broken and a contrite heart. He says that will not despair. That's what God is looking for. Once that is there, he will get mercy, it will get grace. Grace and mercy will bring life, it will bring light, it will bring wisdom, it will bring strength, and then all the other things. Most of people want the other things, but if that other foundation is not there, and it's something you have to maintain. Because many times when we get blessed, the heart changes. Look at what happened to Hezekiah. I remember Uzziah the king. The Bible says he was, you know, he walked with God. Then God blessed him. And then when he became strong, his heart, there's something about material and physical blessing that deceives us. That's why it causes the deceitfulness of riches. That makes you think that you are independent of God. That's Lucifer's original sin. That is why the Bible says that, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Point. Correct. It's Isaiah 28. Because you think that if I have enough, then I don't need God. After all, I can do it myself. And that's what's happened to this generation. I was talking about. People think, you know, the people who need God are, you know, rejects. You know, those of us who are, I'm intelligent, I can work hard, have you heard of, you know, I'm a self-made man. You're a fool. There is no such thing as a self-made man. All men were made by God. And even if you worked hard, who gave you the wisdom to work? Who gave you the good health? Who gave you the strength? Like one man was telling another man, I think it was some politicians, and one guy was calling him it's not in contemporary times. Well, contemporary, but not in recent times. So don't think I'm talking about any particular person. You know, one politician was talking to another politician, you know, I think he was telling him that, if not for us, you know, you would not have become governor, something like that, you know, that we're the people who put you there. And so the man was now replying to the person. He said, it's true. He said, but you know, there is none of us who has anything that somebody did not help. No man is an island. Go and trace your history. Somebody somewhere, maybe your parents were dead, maybe you are an orphan, and somebody adopted you. Or the government gave you a scholarship. The government is somebody. Good government. And it was through that scholarship you now went to university. You're not a self-made man. Stop that nonsense. It's the grace and the mercy of God through other people. They may not necessarily be your parents. They may not necessarily be people you know. You may not even know who they are. But you're not self-made. You still owe everything you have to God. When you were a baby, did you bath for yourself? Did you feed yourself? Even if your parents, if God forbid, even if your mom maybe died at childbirth and people looked after you, those people who took you, you know, cleaned you up, you know, put the feeding bottle into your mouth and everything, you owe them. Without them, you would have died. Stop this nonsense. I'm self-made. I don't owe anybody anything. Everything I did it by myself. Shut up. You didn't do anything by yourself. It was the mercy and the grace of God in the background that you don't even realize. The God who was girding you when you did not know him. Then your silly mouth. That, you know, ascribing to yourself, you know, those are the things that annoy God. And it comes from people who, I'm going back to our Yoruba proverb, woronu. Because entoba monuro amopeda. In other words, these people did not think, like I'm explaining it now, analyzing it now. What do you have that God through somebody did not give you? I'm going to repeat it. What do you have that God through somebody did not give you? Nothing. Jesus said it this way, without me, you can do nothing. It has always been true, and it will always be true. Now, I think the Lord deserves a standing clap offering for that. We're going to do a lot of thanksgiving today, but that one alone. Okay, you may be seated now. You know, your parents, you owe God. Who made your parents? This physical body you have now came from the sperm and the egg of your father and your mother. That is why it says honor your father and your mother. Because without them, there will be no you. Who are you to open your mouth against the heavens and say, we have made ourselves? It's in the Bible. Is this attitude of this attitude of a lack of gratitude? These are the things that God doesn't like. And that's where pride stems from. I've made myself, you know, I'm very hardworking, I'm very intelligent, Looking back now, you know, when I give my testimony now, although I used to even say it even as an unbeliever, I didn't understand the Bible like I understand it now, you know, I recognize that what I have, it was God who gave me. At that time, I didn't know God like I know God now, you know, I passed my exams, you know, who helped me? God! Gave me the wisdom how to read and, you know, to get the syllabus. You know, they went straight into university from Form 5. You know, had a first class. Who helped me with all that? God! I can get up tomorrow and say, I'm intelligent. I'm brilliant. I'm all of that. That is pride. Where do you get your intelligence from? Where do you get your wisdom from? I think this year's Thanksgiving will be different. That's why God asked me to talk to you. Now, how? Like I said, there are two aspects. The spiritual sacrifices. How do we give spiritual sacrifice? Now, go back to Psalm 50. Thank you. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, look at verse 13. Yes. I think the first one we looked at was verse 14. Now I want to read from verse 13 so we get it, you know. Let me read from verse 7. It's a summary of everything I've been saying. See, I'm speaking by the grace and mercy of God, by the Spirit. I'm not just talking from the top of my head. The Holy Spirit is the one who's given me all this understanding and revelation. Everything I've been telling you now is summarized in the spirit of these verses. The words are different. The letters are different. But in the spirit of these verses, hear, O my people. Thank you. I didn't hear you. And I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against thee. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to us, the church. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. They did not fail when it came to physical sacrifice. I'm not saying you didn't bring the animal. I'm not saying you didn't come to church. I'm not saying you didn't. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to reprove that. He said, I will take no bullock out of thy house. You're going to get the attitude, the spirit here. And he goats out of thy folds. Then he explains. Because they are not thinking. So he begins to explain to them. He said, for every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine. And the fullness thereof. You see, God, he's trying to say, come on. Is it the physical thing you're going to give me that's going to satisfy me? We're not done yet. Verse 13. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? You know, back in those days, you know, the more animals you sacrifice, the greater your supposed thanksgiving, you know. So, you know, people used to pride themselves in how many animals they sacrificed. Remember Solomon? When Solomon dedicated the temple, they said they brought so many, you know, they were just sacrificing and sacrificing. And God was not displeased with it because it was a show of respect and all of that for God. But God was saying, that's not what satisfies me. You can kill 1,000 animals. That's not going to satisfy me. We saw the other day, we were talking about Job and his error. He was sacrificing one bull for every child. Yes. That impressed God. Because there's a spiritual loophole. Then verse 14, he tells them, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows on the Most High. Like I said at the beginning, shows there are two things there. There's the spiritual sacrifice, and then there's the physical, where you come with your money, and you know, the physical aspect. We'll look at that in a minute, and we'll close. It says, unto the wicked, verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and will glorify, and thou shalt glorify me. No, God says, if you have the right attitude of gratitude, then when you need me and you call upon me, say, I will move and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mind? He's not talking to unbelievers, talking to Christians. He's talking to us. You know, all people confess the word and, you know, he said, what are you doing all of that for when your attitude isn't right? Because you won't obey instruction. Like I was sharing with somebody recently, and I shared our app, our new app with them, and they were saying, oh, you know, this is really nice, you know. I said, it's not enough just to speak. You have to, you know, have the right, the attitude of love. For faith worketh by love. Forgiveness. See, a lot of people want to confess the word and bind the devil and make apostolic, so-called, and prophetic decrees. Yeah, for the Bible says, I hear it all the time, that thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee conditionally. It only works for those who have put iniquity away from their tabernacle. It's not for anybody who just puts the word of God in their mouth. Am I talking to anybody? God is addressing this attitude problem. The wicked, the people who don't obey instructions, those are the wicked. You know, I don't want to go into all of that. You know, seeing, verse 17, I didn't hear you. Thou hatest instruction and casted my words beside thee. That's God's definition of the wicked. The wicked is not just the guy who takes a gun, you know, like these crazy guys in America, and goes in Jerusalem yesterday or the first day, and goes to a synagogue and starts shooting people. He's wicked, don't misunderstand me. But that's not just, you know, when you think of wicked, we always think of people like that. Ah, you'd be like Abacha. People are killing people. No, any stubborn, rebellious Christian is wicked. I didn't hear an amen. I'm going to repeat it. Any stubborn, rebellious Christian who will not obey instruction is wicked, according to the scripture. And he said, making confession and putting the word of God in your mouth and making decrees will not deliver you if you don't change that internal attitude. Hello? I didn't hear a follow-up amen to that one. Oh, God, have mercy on us. When thou sawest a thief, and thou concerned with him, and has been a partaker of adulterers, don't let me go into all of that. You know, I'm just talking about the attitudes of the wicked. So, it's not enough just to say the right things. It's more important to have the right internal attitude. Is this clear? So, it is with that foundation, we now look at the how. Let me quickly deal with the spiritual sacrifice, and then we'll deal with the physical sacrifice, and I will close. Now, spiritual sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. So what is coming out of your mouth? You see, the same Zoe and dunamis that God used to create is the same Zoe and dunamis inside our hearts. So when I say, Father, thank you, when I sing, you know, when I make a spiritual sacrifice, I am giving back to God some of what he took out of himself to create. So I am refreshing God. Skip that scripture. Quickly look at Exodus chapter 31. I remember the day I saw the scripture, I was amazed. Exodus chapter 31, I believe it's in verse 17. Talking about the Sabbath, but I just want to read the last part. You know, it's a sign between me and you, you know, for 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. And then look at verse 17, the last phrase. He said, and on the seventh day, he did what? Yeah. And was, don't your neighbor say, can God be refreshed? Yes. So thanksgiving with the right attitude and the heart actually refreshes God, just like a cold drink will refresh you after you've done some vigorous exercise, you know, or activity, or you come from a, you know, you've been laboring in the heat, then you go in front of an air conditioner, you know, or a fan, and you just feel that breeze and you feel refreshed. Same thing. You should understand it like that. And that's why you need to open that mouth with the right attitude of gratitude inside the heart. So how do we do this? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And incidentally, we just did that in our Bible study some weeks ago. He's telling us how do we make a spiritual sacrifice? In summary, both in the understanding as well as in the spirit. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, I didn't hear you. My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, so you can sing in tongues. This is where we get it from. And I will sing with the understanding also. This is how you make spiritual sacrifice. You do it with tongues, so you can do it well, like it says here. It says in verse 17. He said, else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? That's people who don't understand tongues. Not understand the language, but understand the concept and what you're doing. You know? Of the unlearned, say amen at thy giving of thanks. See, he doesn't understand what you're saying. We say amen when we pray in tongues because we understand what they're doing. But people who don't understand will not, you know, they'll be looking at you funny. Verse 17. For thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. So this is how to give thanks well. The Holy Spirit helps you to give thanks in detail, so helping you to give thanks well. So this is how you thank God in the Spirit when you do it properly. Then you find this in other scriptures. I've already mentioned them. I'll just, you know, because I got to close. It says Colossians 4:2 says, you know, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This thanksgiving is an attitude thing. You're praying, you're praying in tongues, but in your mind, the attitude of gratitude is there. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I mentioned it earlier on. It says, you know, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And that's it. You're going to see 2023, you know, harvest of the glory and the goodness of God. But that doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. It just means that the glory of God, he says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a stand against it. So the glory of God will come. The glory of God is your rear guard. It will overcome the problem. But in the mean, you know, in between, you got to maintain an attitude of gratitude. In everything, you give thanks. I'm not talking to anybody here. In everything. Closing. Then there's the vows and there's the physical aspect. I've dealt with the spiritual aspect. Clapping, dancing, and giving. And so today, when we're going to do this Thanksgiving, we're going to have all of this. We're going to do the spiritual aspect, then we're also going to do the physical aspect. Look at Psalm 47. Is anybody still on my side? Pastor G, I'm wondering. I know, and I'm not about you, but... Good. Right. Look at verse 1, Psalm 47. To the chief musician. You know, David got this. Old Testament guy, but he got it. He said, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, what? What's wrong with you this morning? Oh, what? If you can clap, clap now. Let me hear you. You're going to do a lot of that today. Stop. Oh, what? Clap your hands, all ye people, and everybody shout unto God. Shout, let me hear you. You're going to do a lot of that today. He tells us what to do. We either obey it or disobey. He tells us what to do. But it doesn't stop there. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is where David brings the ark back to Jerusalem. Look at chapter 6. So you know why you're doing what you're doing. And not just doing out of religious tradition. Hello? This is physical. This is not spiritual. It's physical. But it's a part of it. You do the spiritual, you do it from the heart of gratitude, and then you add the physical to it. And David danced. I didn't hear you. Before the Lord with some of his might. So David, and David was girded with a linen ephod. You know, that's another message for another day. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with what? And with the sound of a... See how all of this is all part of thanksgiving. There was a clapping, shouting, dancing, instruments. Where are you sleeping? Instruments. Aha! Thank you. Glory be to God. So it's all of this taken together that constitute proper thanksgiving. Observe where I started, the heart. An attitude of gratitude that now spills over into spiritual sacrifices. And then from there, it moves over into physical sacrifices, clapping, dancing, shouting. But one last thing, giving money. Psalm 76. We're going to close in a minute. Have I helped anybody here? It's a good way to start this Thanksgiving service. You know, start with the word so that everybody's properly instructed. So when we now go into Thanksgiving, you know what to do. Psalm 76. And look at verse 16. Excuse me. Verse 11. Vow. I didn't hear you. Vow means you make a promise. That's why I told you earlier on in the week, go and think. What did God do for you in 2022? Then you now bring cash, money, in response to what God has done. Say, vow and pay. Say, talk to your neighbor, say, you only pay money. This is not spiritual sacrifice. That's why giving is a part of physical giving of cash. It's a part of thanksgiving. I would say, vow. Because you know, if I didn't say it, they would think it's me making me this up. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be around him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. So I don't want anybody coming here empty-handed. And it's not the amount of the money. Even if it's 5 naira. Even if it's 10 naira. If it is done with the right heart, it's more acceptable to God than a guy who brings 10 million naira with the wrong heart. So it's not the, means of just making money. It's a means of doing things properly. We're going to close. Acts chapter 4. As I said, all that one is Old Testament, so let me give you New Testament. You know, we have some very silly brethren. You know, now ask for, and look at verse 34. Talking about Barnabas. I love this scripture because it's at the beginning of the church, but it shows the kind of attitude God expects his people to have and continually practice throughout the church age. Sadly, over the years, many of these things have been corrupted and they've not been done properly, but thank God the church is being perfected now. He said, neither was there, I didn't hear you, any among them that lacked. For as many, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and they laid them down where? At the apostles' feet. Watch this. And distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. This is what I call, you know, divine communism. This is what the communists and the socialists are trying to practice by legislation. You cannot practice it by legislation. It can only be done by love and the human heart. When you have a society where the rich, of their own free will, not by government taxation, not by something, of their own free will, make resources available to the rest of society so that those who have need, who are not as rich as them, they too can have, then you're going to have a society that will never lack. And that's the plan of God. And that's what this end time perfect church is going to do. Thank you. And lay them down. This end time perfect church, we're going to become the most powerful financial institution on the earth. And because of the kind of money we're going to have, we're not going to be running away from paying taxes. We'll be glad to pay our tax. Because by now, if we're paying the tax, we'll still have so much more left. Amen. The tax will only bless the government so that the government can have good school, good hospital. Do you understand? Make abundance of food. There'll be so much food that there'll be nobody in the country that does not eat. And you know what's going to happen? Crime will disappear. There was a governor, you know, who I happened to have an interaction with some years ago. He told me this personal story. He said they wanted to do some project in his state. So he now, you know, got a German company to come and do it. It was water, you know. And they wanted to bring in machines to start digging the ground to lay the pipes. So he said, don't bring machine. He said, let's employ the young people, you know, and every day we pay them. The company will pay them. So the company agreed. So all the young people, you know, but we were just roaming around the streets, the area boys and all of that, you know, they also got them. So they were paying them every day. This is a true story. This happened some years ago in a state here in Nigeria. You know, the governor told me this personally. He said to me, he said, I am the chief security officer of the state. He said, do you know, pastor? He said, the crime rate went to zero. Zero! Because everybody was eating. That's why when I'm in my car, when the beggars and people were coming before, I always give them. What's 1,000 naira to me? Nothing, relatively. But that 1,000 naira to him is food for that day. Imagine if everybody who was like me to some degree, not exactly, but you know, who could afford it, when anybody asks, you know, any little you give them, the whole society will be blessed. The crime rate will go down. I didn't hear amen. They were looking at me for along Ajo Yewa. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And laid them down, and it was made to every man. I'm going to close. Psalm 66. And we're done. Have I helped you this morning? Do you have a better understanding of Thanksgiving? And will you do it well? I didn't hear you. I know that the word hits some people. Especially when it comes to the attitude of gratitude. And those who, you know, have a sense of entitlement. It's one of the terrible things of this generation. I have a sense as if, you know, God is owing them a favor.
Verse 13. I will go into thy house. I didn't hear you. Everybody, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. What's wrong with you? Except for the elderly or the infirm. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. Everybody, say with your mouth, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the increase of rams. I will offer bullocks and goats. Come, hear, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Everybody give the Lord a super clap offering. What I have just given you is the epignosis of thanksgiving. Complete knowledge. Complete. It starts with the heart, an attitude of gratitude. It spills over into the mouth as spiritual sacrifices. It doesn't stop there. It moves into the body. Clapping, dancing, shouting. It doesn't stop there. It moves into physical giving of money. You pay your vows. You are in trouble in 2022 sometimes. Maybe you're doing a contract, or you are building something, or you are in an office. You say, God, please help me. And God helped you. Where is your vow? You will bring it today. Thank God there's electronic banking now. So you will bring it. Even the one you didn't want to bring, you will bring it. Let's give Lord another super clap offering. Hallelujah! Thank you, thank you, thank you. On the high sounding cymbals, glory be to God. Okay, Pastor Laulukom. So we're going to do a brief welcome like we normally do, you know, and then just go straight into short praise and worship, and then we start the Thanksgiving.